You're listening to Eagle Wings Online Radio, your messianic Christian music alternative.
Like what we do? Share this on your socials and tell everyone.
Held hostage. How the demons of Satan are putting up a stronghold against God's commandments. During the last week, my thoughts and prayers have been directed to focus on being made captive by sin. How does this work and what is going on with that? When I speed, I sin. When I murder someone, I sin. Two extremes, but both are sin. When you're in the checkout lane and the new boy toy from that famous Hollywood cougar is staring at you, oh my, or that yes, you know, you can fill in the blanks. We talked about it so many times, garbage in, garbage out. The ungodly junk we see through our eyes and hear through our ears will eventually come out through our words or writings. When I worked in the city of Rotterdam, the Netherlands, there were several murders a day in just that one city, and it surely was not newsworthy anymore. Then I moved to West Jordan, Utah, and on TV, yes, for a whole week there were discussions and a chase after somebody who stabbed a lady. Now, that was something. I was truly shocked, not by the stabbing, but by the attention that the media gave to something so trivial. Because of where I had been before, my senses were numbed to the evil of stabbings and killings. It had become a normal part of daily life. However, it is not normal at all. What is normal is that you are able to walk to the neighborhood grocer and leave your door unlocked because people will not steal from you. It is against God's commandment, "Thou shalt not steal." When I grew up, you could count on it that if somebody saw you do something wrong, you would get a spanking at home because you were seen, and your parents were called to explain what had taken place. The saying was something like this: "It takes one woman to give birth, but it takes a neighborhood to raise the child." I remember being taken by the ear for doing something wrong, handed over to my parents, and then receiving another punishment there, as if being pulled by the ear was not enough. In our current society, we don't even dare to look at children angrily. They will stand up and give you a piece of their disrespectful mind. Come on now, as if we've played marbles in the street with them. Have we forgotten the commandment to honor our father and mother, to honor our elders? Yes, indeed, most of us have. We're afraid to say anything because it might be turned against us. In many neighborhoods, we are afraid to stop the thief because his gang can come after us. We are indeed, in more than one way, captive to sin. Now, to bring it even further, we are also very strongly captive to our own sin. But how is it possible that we are captive to our own sin? I'm not being held captive by my speeding or by my white lie that I'm sick, but in reality, I'm out fishing on this beautiful day. Yes, we truly have been captive. We have been taken captive by those demons and demonic powers that made a change in society, and with that, also in our lives. Demonic powers that let us break the commandments when we are not even thinking about it. The spirit of Jezebel, which in the world is running rampant. I'm sure you all know some people, and with that, some very important people who are being held captive by this evil spirit. But more on that in a little while. In our society, we are being held captive by the spirit of possession. We see it, we need it. And whether we can afford it or not, we want to buy it. Let's look at Acts chapter 8, verses 17 to 25, where Simon, infected with this horrible spirit, wants to buy the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 8, verses 17 to 25, New International Version, 1984. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Peter answered, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart, for I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." Then Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me, so that nothing you have said may happen to me." When they had testified and proclaimed the word of the Lord, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. Verse 23 says it all. "For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." We modern-day people do indeed not see it anymore, because bitterness is a part of daily life. The negative feeling that we cannot do this or that anymore because of changes in our society that make us feel sad, melancholic, angry, disgruntled, etc. We were able to do it when we were young because then it was all normal, but not anymore. Somebody might get offended. Does this sound familiar? It sure did for me. Samuel says, "embittered in mind as a bear robbed of her whelps." Or with Joseph Conrad, "bitter as a day of mourning." Those things that we are missing, we are truly mourning. Or what about this form of cashing in on demonic influences in current society? In May 2009, Psychology Today wrote, "No one could accuse the American Psychiatric Association of missing a strain of sourness in the country or of failing to capitalize on its diagnostic potential. Having floated apathy disorder as a trial balloon to see if it might garner enough support for inclusion in the next edition of the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, the world's diagnostic Bible of mental illnesses." The oxymoron science of psychiatry is filled with people rejecting God, studying people's psyche, or in other words, studying people's spirit. Oh yes, we do everything to buy peace of spirit, and we do everything to make a dime, even tapping into something that can only be healed by Jehovah Rapha, God our healer, and that is the healing of our spirit. So many are being possessed or oppressed. As a Christian, my friend, you are blessed. You are no longer able to be possessed. However, demonic powers and evil spirits are able to oppress you in a fierce way. Our Father, who art in heaven, deliver us from our sin, Lord, and please help us to forgive those who have sinned against us. Amen. Wow, okay, that was very important right now, so we can continue. As said earlier, that spirit of Jezebel is running rampant in our society, and because of the attitude in our society that is being controlled by her, an even larger rule is given to this spirit day by day. That same psychiatric association has given Jezebel a little nicer name, and now calls it not possession or oppression, but a disease called narcissism. Narcissistic personality disorder. Narcissistic personality disorder is a condition in which people have an inflated sense of self-importance and an extreme preoccupation with themselves. The causes of this disorder are unknown. An overly sensitive personality and parenting problems may affect the development of this disorder. Oh, come on now. The cause of this disorder is unknown to whom? Oh, yes, indeed, unknown to those who think that they can repair what was created to be fused with the Holy Spirit and then be filled with Him and His holiness instead of with the world, deceit, lust, filthy lucre, and the rest. The cause of this is not disease. It is oppression by demonic powers, the power that we call the spirit of Jezebel. Now let's look at the symptoms, and you tell yourself, not others, who jumps into your mind, looking at your close surroundings, your radio, movie, sports heroes, or others in leadership or powerful positions. A person with narcissistic personality disorder may react to criticism with rage, shame, or humiliation. Take advantage of other people to achieve his or her own goals. Have excessive feelings of self-importance. Exaggerate achievements and talents. Be preoccupied with fantasies of success, power, beauty, intelligence, or ideal love. Have unreasonable expectations of favorable treatment. Need constant attention, and admiration. Disregard the feelings of others and have little ability to feel empathy. Have obsessive self-interest. Pursue mainly selfish goals. This is all in sharp contrast to what should be seen in a fruit-bearing Christian. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23, Amplified Bible. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which His presence within accomplishes, is love, joy, gladness, peace, patience, an even temper, forbearance, kindness, goodness, benevolence, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, humility, self-control, self-restraint, continence. Against such things, there is no law that can bring a charge. These 9 fruits of the Spirit will cancel out all 10 traits listed by the Psychiatric Association. God has provided an antidote against any demonic possession and oppression in His holy word, the Bible. We need to understand that this possession, being held captive by sin, is nothing new. Proverbs chapter 5, verses 20 to 22, Amplified Bible. Why should you, my son, be infatuated with a loose woman, embrace the bosom of an outsider, and go astray? For the ways of man are directly before the eyes of the Lord, and He who would have us live soberly, chastely, and godly, carefully weighs all man's goings. His own iniquities shall ensnare the wicked man, and he shall be held with the cords of his sin. One of the biggest problems we face in our society today is that we are also ensnaring others in our iniquities, both as individuals and as a society at large. There is only one way out of this mess, and that way is the acceptance of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Society is totally involved in the new one-world religion called secular humanism. The Council for Secular Humanism describes it as follows. Secular humanists accept a worldview or philosophy called naturalism, in which the physical laws of the universe are not superseded by non-material or supernatural entities such as demons, gods, or other spiritual beings outside the realm of the natural universe. Wow, I would say this denial of God and evil powers in our lives is the same as opening up our windows and the sunroof in our car while driving 80 miles an hour on the highway during high winds and rain and saying, "It is not raining." God had given Christ the power to cast out these demons through the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, Amplified Bible. How God anointed and consecrated Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with strength and ability and power. How He went about doing good and in particular curing all who were harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil. For God was with Him. Those whom Christ healed of demon possession were almost always also healed of a physical or psychological ailment that the demon possession had caused either by organic damage or through self-damaging behavior, as in Luke chapter 13, verses 11 to 12, Amplified Bible. And there was a woman there who for 18 years had had an infirmity caused by a spirit, a demon of sickness. She was bent completely forward and utterly unable to straighten herself up or to look upward. And when Jesus saw her, He called her to Him and said to her, "Woman, you are released from your infirmity." In this same way, Jesus commanded His disciples to do the same. Matthew chapter 10, verses 7 to 8, Amplified Bible. And as you go, preach, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons. Freely, without pay, you have received, freely, without charge, give." This was not just for the disciples. As is claimed by many, 70 of the followers came back to Christ and said to Him, Luke chapter 10, verses 17 to 21, Amplified Bible. The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan falling like a lightning flash from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions, and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall in any way harm you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are enrolled in heaven." In that same hour he rejoiced and gloried in the Holy Spirit and said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have concealed these things, relating to salvation, from the wise and understanding and learned, and revealed them to babes, the childish, unskilled, and untaught. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will and choice and good pleasure. The Lord has given this power to all who believe and call upon his name, but also upon you individually calling upon his name. You, my dear friend, can pray for yourself or indeed pray with others or be prayed upon to cast out that demon of dependency or that demon of gluttony or whatever you know is not right in the eyes of the Lord and which is controlling you. As a follower of Christ, you have been anointed into ministry. When you have been under the Word of God, you do know the Word of God. When the Word Jesus Christ is upon your heart, you just cannot control yourself and you must speak about Him. This is in total opposition to the garbage in, garbage out that we talked about earlier, but it is the same principle. When God fills your heart, you just cannot do anything else but share this knowledge, thereby casting out the demons that held you captive. Isaiah reads, Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 to 3, Amplified Bible. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed and qualified me to preach the gospel of good tidings to the meek, the poor, and afflicted. He has sent me to bind up and heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the physical and spiritual captives, and the opening of the prison and of the eyes to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of his favor, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant consolation and joy to those who mourn in Zion, to give them an ornament, a garland or diadem of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment expressive of praise instead of a heavy, burdened and failing spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, lofty, strong and magnificent, distinguished for uprightness, justice and right standing with God, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 to 11, Amplified Bible. "That in, at the name of Jesus, every knee should, must, bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue, frankly and openly, confess and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." In closing, as we reflect upon the profound impact of sin and demonic influences in our lives and society, it is essential to remember that we are not powerless. Through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we have the authority to overcome these spiritual strongholds. The examples of the early disciples, as well as the teachings from Scripture, highlight that the power to cast out demons and heal the afflicted is available to all believers. This divine authority is not confined to the past, but is a present reality for those who have faith in Jesus Christ. The societal norms that promote secular humanism and dismiss the existence of spiritual forces are in direct opposition to the teachings of the Bible. By recognizing and addressing these influences, we can reclaim the spiritual health and well-being that God intends for us. This involves a personal commitment to live according to God's commandments and to be vigilant against the subtle encroachments of sin and demonic oppression. Furthermore, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control provides a clear contrast to the destructive behaviors associated with narcissism and other manifestations of demonic influence. These virtues are not only attainable, but are promised to those who live in alignment with God's will and invite the Holy Spirit to work within them. In a world increasingly dominated by materialism and self-centeredness, the message of the gospel remains a beacon of hope. It is through the acceptance of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior that we find true freedom from the bondage of sin. This liberation is not merely a future promise, but a present reality that transforms our lives and empowers us to bring healing and deliverance to others. Let us, therefore, embrace our calling as followers of Christ to be vessels of His grace and power. By doing so, we participate in the divine mission of setting captives free, proclaiming the good news, and living out the transformative love of God in a world desperately in need of His healing touch. Amen.
Be sure to share the podcast on your favorite social media channels.